You are listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Randall White, in for Vicky Gonzalez today. One of the largest public work projects in Sacramento history has been quietly underway out of sight for most people in the region. And starting next month, big portions of it are expected to go online, drastically changing how one, I guess you could say, dirty aspect of our lives is handled. That's the sound of sewage or wastewater being treated at the regional sand facility in Elk Grove. Now, if you live in Sacramento County, or for that matter, West Sacramento in Yolo County, there is a good chance the toilet you flushed this morning or yesterday is already being processed at this facility. On an average day, 150 million gallons of wastewater is handled at regional sand. Now, a massive $1.6 billion upgrade to the system called Echo Water is about to start cleaning sewage to the point that it can be used to irrigate ag crops. Yesterday, I took a tour of the Echo Water facility and sat down with Regional San and Sac Sewer General Manager Christoph Dobson, who helped explain a bit more about this big change that's more than a decade in the making.
Echo Water is the project that we've been building. It's an upgrade that came out of some regulatory requirements that we had back in 2010. And it's about a $1.7 billion project to upgrade our treatment plant to tertiary and advanced treatment. So it removes ammonia from our wastewater and then also filters the water to a very high degree. So that water is going to be so clean that we can use it to water food crops.
And this is the second largest project of its kind in the U.S.?
Yes, the one larger is Blue Plains in Washington, D.C.
For a little bit of history, the cities throughout the Sacramento region all used to treat their own water. And then at one point, everything got funneled to here?
Yeah, there used to be 22 smaller plants spread around the region. And they discharged primarily into the American River. And those were all taken offline. And we centralized and built this big plant here near Elk Grove.
So what's the farthest away someone might be where they're, you know, taking a shower or using the facilities and that water that's going down their drain at their residence ends up here?
Probably somewhere up in Folsom would be the farthest point, and it takes about a day for the wastewater to get from Folsom down here.
For somebody in Elk Grove, it's more like maybe a half a day or something, and it's already here?
Yeah, it might be just a few hours.
And most of that is pushed through the system naturally through gravity?
Yeah, most of our system is gravity flow, so it just uses gravity to flow downhill. But eventually it gets to a point that's maybe very deep under the ground, and we have to lift it up. So we use a pump station to do that, and it pressurizes the wastewater, pushes it to a place where gravity can then take over again.
Infrastructure is something that is sometimes right in our faces with like freeways and bridges and mostly transportation type things. And then you have this hidden infrastructure that is such a big part of our lives. Do you ever think, I just wish people realized how much is going on behind the scenes with all of this?
Sure. We recognize we've been in this business for a long time and understand that people don't see it, so they don't necessarily think about it. But that doesn't mean it's not important. It's very important infrastructure underground. And then also our treatment plant site is kind of tucked out of the way as well. And it has a buffer lands around that plant. So a lot of people don't see that either. But obviously it's very important. If you flush your toilet, you know how important it is.
Much of the water that is treated ends up in the Sacramento River, correct?
Yes, that's where our discharge point is.
And then some of the water that's treated ends up in a purple pipe system, it's called, that helps water some of the parks in Elk Grove.
Yes. So the purple pipe system is recycled water. We treat that to a very high degree. And then that water is safe to be used. Currently, it's used for ball fields and medians and some parks and things like that.
And some of that water is currently moving up into Sacramento for a SMUD facility that will no longer be used. Is there a plan to get some of that water to some of the parks in Sacramento?
That is a potential future. Right now, the water flows north to the Campbell Cogen facility. and it's used as cooling water. But there can be spurs. It was designed to have spurs coming off of that line into parks and other green areas within the city of Sacramento.
How much of that purple pipe water is produced? Like, is there capacity to water parks throughout Sacramento?
Right now, we have a facility that's generating about 3 million gallons per day. That's a very small facility that's on our plant site. But when Echo Water is complete, which is the end of this year, spring of next year, then our entire discharge will be available for recycled water. And that's on the order of 130 million gallons per day on average.
How much of the water of that Echo Water could be diverted from the Sacramento River without disrupting that ecosystem too much? Because I imagine at this point that water has been going in there for such a long time that it adds to the flow.
Right. The water that's discharged right now, it's primarily seen as additional flow in the river. And so we have specific requirements in order to get our water rights to move the discharge point to use it elsewhere. We had to go through a process that effectively asks all the downstream water users, what are your comments on this facility? So we've gone through that process and we have the water rights to do that. But there are certain times with our harvest water project, our bigger project to recycle water and send it south, where we will have to curtail the water deliveries and make sure that some of that water is going into the river.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the harvest project. So these are farmers that are in the San Joaquin Valley?
Sacramento, Southern Sacramento County.
Uh-huh. Oh, so it's still all within the county?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And like, what scale are we talking about? And how does the water get to them?
So we will be building a large transmission line and a pump station to pump the water south. The amount of water is typically in water, we say acre feet. So it's about 50,000 acre feet per year. And that water will be used by the farmers to water their crops. And in exchange, they will significantly reduce the pumping of the groundwater. And that's the big benefit, is that allows the groundwater to recover.
Your system won't only be helping farmers when it comes to water. Currently, they get pellets that are made from some of the solid waste that passes through here that is really high-grade fertilizer, isn't it?
Yeah, we have a partnership with Synagro. It's a private company, and they take about a third, about 30% of our solids, and they create a very high-quality fertilizer with that, and it's used to fertilize crops.
You have influent that's coming in from throughout the region. What is it, 1.6 million customers?
Correct, 1.6 million customers.
Uh-huh. And there are things that get tossed into the toilet or what have you that, or maybe even in Sacramento's case, at least in the grid area, might wash down the storm sewers. What is the biggest headache for you here when it comes to stuff that's coming in these four large pipes from people's homes?
Well, obviously anything that you're not supposed to flush down the toilet. We have some basic messages. One is wipes. Those wipes, they sometimes call flushable, but they're really not, because they are almost indestructible and they clog up pumps and other systems. We also want customers to not discharge fats, oils, or grease into their system, because if you put that down the drain, it will solidify and clog up either their sewer or our portion of the sewer, and that'll cause sewer overflows. Mm-hmm. So those are the primary ones. We also recommend or ask people not to flush any medications down the drain, because that's also something that isn't well treated at our treatment plant.
Throughout the different stages of the treatment process, water is sampled and then goes to a lab that you have here on site. And how many different tests are done annually?
We do about 90,000 tests annually. And those tests are for compliance with our regulatory requirements. They're also to help our plant make sure that the process is working right. And that's the bulk of the tests.
Are you able to test for concentrations of medications and that sort of thing?
We certainly can. Depends on what it is that you're testing for. We may send that out to another lab as well.
Mm-hmm. And you do send things out to other labs when it comes to testing for pathogens that are in the water that might cause things like COVID-19 or monkeypox and that sort of thing. Walk us through that a little bit. How does that process work?
Sure. So first of all, pathogens, some pathogens we do test for here, but in particular, there's a science called wastewater-based epidemiology, and that's where you take the wastewater, sample it, send it off to a lab. We work with Stanford and also with a private company called BioBot. They take those samples and they test for specific diseases like COVID, and they can get a sense of the concentration in the wastewater. And that can tell you whether the cases may be going up or coming down. So you can see trends from that.
And Christoph, how accurate has this sampling been when it comes to tracking the disease?
It's accurate, not on an individual basis, but on an overall. So a good sense of what is the community, those 1.6 million people, you know, what level of is the pandemic in right now? How many people are being affected by it? So we get a sense of the trend.
And you mentioned that there it's not just COVID or monkeypox. Do you also look at like flu transmission and things like that to see where we are in that season?
That's not something that we do. Stanford has been changing what diseases they look for. Flu is certainly something you could do. It's been used for polio in the past, and actually that's where wastewater-based epidemiology started, was when they were trying to get a handle on the polio epidemic.
This is a really large property. How many acres are we talking about?
A little over 3,000.
And a big chunk of that looks like open space. What is that land used for?
Right. So we have about 1,000 acres of process area and a little over 2,000 acres of buffer lands. And that area is just really a natural wildlife preserve. We have staff that actively manage that property. And its primary purpose is obviously to make a home for the flora and fauna, but it's also so that we can be good neighbors to the surrounding community. So it cuts down on the noise and the dust and the odors that come from an operating treatment plant.
You were very nice. You and your team were very nice to give me a tour of the facility. And one thing I noticed on the tour is that it really didn't smell that bad. And I've actually toured other wastewater facilities and I've, you know, driven past some where, you know, you can really smell it. How do you keep a handle on that?
Right. Odor complaints are a very important part of our job. We try to obviously limit those. And we do that by having covered processes for one thing. And then we have odor removal equipment that is specifically designed to remove those odors. So it is, it smells pretty darn good here at the wastewater treatment plant.
You mentioned the land that's the buffer zone that's out there. There are not public trails because there are security concerns here, right? And there is a security gate when you come in and that sort of thing. What is the main concern security-wise?
Well, a wastewater treatment plant is essential infrastructure, so it's something even the federal government has recognized as critically important. If something happened to this plant, you could have a catastrophe with raw sewage going into the river. So it's very important that we keep this facility functioning, and therefore the security is necessary.
Mm-hmm. But you do offer some like guided tours from time to time?
Yeah, we do have our Bufferland staff has tours of various parts of the bufferlands. Roughly once a month or so, they'll have an event. We have in the springtime, our big event is the Walk on the Wild Side, which was shut down during COVID. We just started it back up this past year. And that's an opportunity for people to get out and walk on the trail a little bit as well.
We're about a year now from a major, unusual October storm that dumped record amounts of rain in the Sacramento region. How does your facility deal with that when such a large increase of water comes in? Because while most of the systems that feed into this plant are wastewater only, some of the water coming from Sacramento also includes stormwater.
Right. The city of Sacramento has a combined sewer system, which means both stormwater and wastewater. And so we do get very large flows in the wintertime, especially like that storm that you mentioned. And when that happens, we have very large storage basins that can essentially store that flow. And then when the flows come down a little bit, then we can put it back through the system.
Should I say a happy Wastewater Worker Week. Is that what it is? I believe this week is something special.
Yes, it's Wastewater Professionals Appreciation Week. And so we're doing a lot internally to appreciate our employees, but we're also doing some external stuff to let folks know how important water and wastewater workers are.
So everyone who's listening right now, when you use the facilities at some point today, and you will, keep that in mind that there are people that are hard at work making sure that all of this sewage throughout the region passes through and then into the river in a really clean and ecological fashion.
Yes, that is our mission, to protect public health and the environment.
Well, Christoph Dobson, thank you so much for your time today. And again, I very much appreciate the tour and getting a look at the facility. It is far larger than anyone probably imagines, because you can't really see it from any roadway.
Yes, it's very impressive. Thank you very much.
Christoph Dobson, their general manager at Regional San Sacramento Area Sewer District, telling us more about the virus tracking partnerships and then some of the big upgrades set to go online just within a month or so. Okay, still ahead, for more than a decade, Sacramento native Tim McCord has been a musician with the rock band Evanescence. He joins us ahead on a homecoming performance at the Aftershock Festival this weekend in Discovery Park. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Randall White, and we are back in just a moment.